I started to discuss the dua iftitah that we recite every night in the month of Ramadan, keeping in mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran itself, when he talks about fasting, he also talks about the issue of dua, where he says that when they ask you, where am I? Inni qareebun ujibu da'wat al-da'i. That I'm close to you and I respond to your dua and your prayers. And I wanted to take this opportunity to talk about dua iftitah, so that something which we recite already every month of Ramadan, but you know, this will give more understanding of what we are reciting. However, I see that, you know, 5 nights was not enough to cover all the different sections of it. I divided it into 7, and we are just into the second of it. So we'll see what we can do till Monday night. Tonight, I would like to actually go back to one phrase, one sentence from the dua that we discussed last night, where we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After praising him, we say, فَصِرْتُ عَدُوكَ آمِنًا. You know, I continue to pray to you with hope, you know, not out of fear, I'm not scared, I have this confidence in how you have treated me in the past. And then we come to this sentence, فَإِنْ أَبْتَ عَنِّي أَطَبْتُ بِجَهْلِي عَلَيْكَ. If the response to my dua is being delayed from your side, you know, I, out of my ignorance, blame you. And I say, you know, Allah, what's the problem? And I'm praying to you every day, but there's no answer. And this is the dua coming from Imam Asr Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajul Sharif. Where he's looking at a human condition, he's saying, yes, you feel bad about delaying of the dua. And sometimes you blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but confess that. لَعَلَّ الَّذِي عَبْتَ عَنِّي هُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي. That maybe something which has been delayed is for my betterment. Why? لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. Because you know the outcome of all affairs. I would like to focus on this part tonight, because this is a very common question we hear many times. Maulana, I done all the amal. Whatever I hear from YouTube, from Maulana's on the member, and you know, many other people, and I done this, I done that, and still I don't see any response. And they become kind of, you know, disheartened, and you know, sometimes even up, you know, angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where I would like to actually go to the forefather of our Imam, Amir al-Mu'minin Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wa salam. There is a letter in there, in the section of the letters, letter number 31, where Imam is actually addressing one of his sons. Now, there's a debate about it, which son he was addressing. It's a lengthy letter that he wrote after the Battle of Siffin. And he has covered many, many things. It's actually a document about the tarbiyat of awlad, how to raise your children. In there, he talks about this issue. You know, especially if you remember the wordings of dua iftitah in the earlier part that we discussed, that we say to Allah that, you know, you are the one who has allowed me to pray to you. You know, and I, because of that, you know, have this hope to ask you for things. And this is where Imam is writing to his son, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ خَضَائِنُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْعَرْضِ. Ali says, then know that the one who holds the treasures of the heavens and the earth, قَدْ عَذِنَ لَكَ فِي الدُّعَى. He has allowed you to basically pray to him and call him. He is somebody who holds the treasure of the universe. وتكلف لك بالإجابة, and he has guaranteed you the response, the جواب. And this is the hard part to digest. You know, Allah, I'm calling you for 1 month and there's no response. And here Amir al-Mu'mineen says, وتكلف لك بالإجابة, he has guaranteed you the response. وأمرك أن تسأله ليعطيك واسترحمه ليرحمك. And he has actually commanded you to ask him so that he may grant it to you. And he has asked you to, you know, seek his mercy so that he may be merciful towards you. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen here is basically the same theme that we see from Amir al-Mu'mineen and the 12th Imam. And this is where we come to realize, you know, sometimes people go into this discussion about sanad. When you see the similarity in the style and the approach, you know that is the Imam and this is the Imam. Salawat Pranad Akbar. And then Ali goes on to say, you know, he says, remember that he has been so kind to you. You do one mistake, it's counted only as one. You do one good thing, it is counted as 10 times, the reward. And then he says, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ فِي يَدَيْكَ مَفَاتِيحَ خَضَائِنِهِ. And then Allah has placed in you, your hands, the keys to his treasures. The treasures of the heavens and the earth, he says, Allah has given you the keys. بِمَا عَظِنَ لَكَ فِيهِ مِنْ مَسْأَلَتِهِ. By allowing you to ask him. فَمَتَى شِئْتَ اِسْتَفَحْتَ. Whenever you wish, you can open the door بِالدُّعَى أَبَوَابَ نِعْمَتِهِ. You can open the doors of his blessings through dua. So the dua is the keys to the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is where, you know, then Ali comes to this issue that we see even the dua of iftitah of the imam of our time, where he says, فَلَا وَلَا يُقَنِّطَنَّكَ إِبْطَاعَ إِجَابَتِهِ فَعِنَّ الْعَطِيَّ عَلَى قَدْرِ النِّيَّةِ. This is where he brings up this issue of delay. He says, delay in acceptance of the dua should not disappoint you. Because always keep in mind, granting of the prayer is according to the worth of your intention. You know, what is the level that you are? At what level you are asking? What is your intention? Is there sincerity in that or not? That's a very important point that Ali is making here. And then he says, remember, there are three outcomes. When he says that Allah has guaranteed the response, there are three outcomes. The response might not always be what we want. But he says, number one, وَرُبَّمَا أُخِّرَتْ عَنْكَ الْإِجَابَةِ لِيَكُونُ ذَلِكَ أَعْظَمُ لِأَجْرِ السَّائِلِ وَعَجَّلَ لِإِعْطَاءِ الْأَمَلِ. He says, sometimes the delay, the acceptance of dua is delayed. It's not rejected. But you don't get it when you want it. You know, it is given to you later on. And so Amir al-Mu'mineen says sometimes acceptance of dua is delayed for you with the view it's being a source of greater reward to the supplicant and a better gift to the hopeful ones. Because this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen says that, you know, sometimes Allah delays. He's going to give you. But he controls the time, not you. He realizes this is not the time I'll give him soon. And this is where, you know, maybe I'll put in something else, which are there in hadith also, that sometimes when you do the dua with sincerity and cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, maybe Allah likes your voice. If he just gives you the first day, you will not go back to him. So he says, you know, I like the way you ask me. So do it again. And when you do that, the reward is multiplied. Maybe even what you are asking will be, what is given to you is more than that. And so the reward is more and the gift is even better than what you were expecting. So that's the first thing about the issue of delay. The second outcome, وَرُبَّمَا سَأَلْتَ الشَّيْءَ فَلَا تُؤْتَاهُ وَأُوْتِيتَ خَيْرًا مِنْهُ عَاجِلًا وَآجِلًا أَوْ عَاجِلًا. Sometimes you ask for something and Allah does not give that to you. Not a rejection. You know, you ask for something but you didn't get that. Rather, what is given to you? Something even better than what you asked. So the first was delay. The second was replacement. You were asking for one thing, and Allah replaced your dua with something better. What you were asking, Allah gave you even something better. And then we come to, and that could be either immediate or maybe in the future. It could be in dunya. Sometimes it could even be in the akhirah. Our perspective should not be narrow. It should be wider to keep the barzakh and akhirah also in our mind. And the third option, that's where we will get more, into problem here. أَوْ صُرِفَ عَنْكَ. Sometimes you ask for something and Allah diverts it away. Doesn't give it to you at all. Why? لِمَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكَ. Because diverting your plea from you, not responding to it, is actually better for you. فَلَرَبَّ عَمْرٍ قَدْ طَلَبْتَهُ فِيهِ هَلَاكُ دِينِكَ وَلَوْ أُوْتِيتَهُ. Because sometimes what you are asking for is detrimental to your religion, your faith, your iman. So there is a situation where Allah will respond negatively. The response is there. Even by denying you, actually it's a response. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is where we come to that, you know, statement of the dua. وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِي لِعِلْمِكَ بِعَاقِبَةِ الْأُمُورِ. Where the Imam Asr is saying, say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes you delay and I'm angry with you, but then I realize it is for my betterment because you know the outcome of what will happen if I have it. And so this is where we have to realize even the third option, which is in a way denial, has it is also a response. A response in a sense that Allah is looking at the outcome of it, whether this is good for you or not. You know, sometimes our children, especially when they are becoming, you know, teenagers, they ask for so many things. You know, they would like to have a motorbike, new, and you know, they become very crazy. As father, and more than that, a mother will be very worried. No, he's not going to get that. Maybe 5 years after. So there will be a delay, or sometimes absolutely not. It's not because they don't like the child. It is out of their concern. They are looking at the outcome. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes we really want something, but Allah knows that I give it to him. You know, he will go down. He will lose his faith. And this is where we have to realize, فَلِتَكُنْ مَسْأَلَتَكَ فِي مَا يَبْقَى لَكَ جَمَالُهُ وَيَنْفَ عَنْكَ وَبَالُهُ. Ali then ends by saying, so when you ask for something, make sure that there is it is beauty in it. There is, you know, the outcome would be beautiful for you and not become a bala for you. فَالْمَالَ لَا يَبْقَ لَكَ وَلَا تَبْقَ لَهُ. Because sometimes you ask for mal, but remember, it will not always stay with you. Nor are you going to live that long for the mal. You will end up leaving everything behind before even using it. And so these are the three outcomes. One is delay, one is replacement, in a better form. And the third, where Allah says, I know the aqibatul umur, the outcome of what will happen to you, and therefore I don't want to give it to you. So even in that is a response, and it is a positive response because Allah knows the outcome of our future. Salawat. Coming to this third point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes doesn't respond to our du'as because he knows it is detrimental for us, whether in dunya or the akhirah. I'll give you a real example from the life of the Prophet himself. When the Prophet was in Medina, there was a person by the name of Tha'laba bin Hatib from the Ansar, a poor person. And when the Masjid al-Nabi was built, he was among those who had become Muslim, and he was very regular in namaz. Fajr time, he was there. Zuhr time, he was there. Asr time, he was there. Maghrib time, he was there. Isha time, he was there. Five times he would be there in Namaz-e-Jamaat behind Rasulullah. And he came once to Rasulullah and he said, you know, Rasulullah, I'm poor. Ud'u Allah an yarzuqani malan. It seems he had already prayed many, many times. It didn't work. So now he is looking for the wasila. He comes to Rasulullah and he says, pray for me. Pray to Allah for me that he may give me sustenance, wealth. And the Prophet looked at him. Remember, he is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows aqibatul umur. His Rasul also, with that connection, knows. So he refused. He says, Ya Tha'laba, qaleelun tu'addi shukrahu khayrun min kathirin la taqeetuhu. The little that you have, for which you are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is better for you than having plentiful that you will not be able to handle. The word is taqat. You know, you don't have the ability to handle it. And so he went away. After some time, he came again. And Rasulullah also said something more. He says, why don't you, live a life like me? Have a simple life. He says, if I have, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَوْ أَرَدْتُ أَن تَسِيلَ الْجِبَالِ مَعِي ظَحَبًا وَفِضًّا لَسَارَتْ. He says, oh, Tha'laba, I have that power. If I want, I can turn this mountain into gold and silver. But I don't do it. I live a very simple life. I want you to live like me. So after some times, again he came. And again Rasulullah refused. This happens multiple times until finally he came to Rasulullah with a guarantee. He says, Ya Rasulullah, udu Allah an yarzuqna malan. O the Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah that he may give me wealth. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَعِنْ رَذَقَنِي اللَّهُ مَالًا لَعَطُيَنَّ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقُّهُ. That I, in the name of the one who sent you as a Nabi, if Allah gives me wealth, I will give the share of those who have right in my mal, the poor and the orphans and the needy. And so the Prophet now, couldn't say no anymore. He had already warned him. He's still insisting. Now he comes with a pledge that if I get the wealth, I will handle it properly, fulfill the dues and everything. So the Prophet prayed, Allahumma rzuq fa'alaba malan. Allah, bless him with mal and wealth. فَاتَّخَذَ غَنَمًا. He was able to buy one sheep. فَنَمَتْ. And all of a sudden, it's second, and then third, and then fourth. And his herd of sheep increased so much that he could not even keep them in his small house. He ended up going to this suburb of Medina and got a property over there. You know, the elite class, they were the ones who went to the suburbs, huh? So he bought a bigger place. Even then, after some time, then the herd of his sheep increased so much that he had to go even further away. When he moved away to the suburb, Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha was gone. He used to come 5 times a day for Namaz Jamaat behind Rasulullah. But on Jummah, he would still be there. When he moved even further away from Medina, even the Jummah was, now he had an excuse. The distance was not there, that it would be wajib. And he became a very affluent person. We're talking about the later days of Rasulullah. Then the ayat came down in the 8th year of the Hijrah, where the legislation of zakat comes in first time as wajib. And we are talking about this technical zakat, not zakat in the meaning of general charity, because Quran uses this term in 2 different meanings. Like you will see, zakat is mentioned even in the ayat which came in Makkah, where the zakat was not wajib. Zakat only became wajib in the 8th year of the Hijrah, which is just closer to the end of the Prophet's life. And when zakat became wajib, one of the items of zakat was, you know, those who used to raise animals. So the Prophet sent somebody whose task was to go and get the zakat. He said, go to Salaba. Zakat is wajib on him also because of the sheep, the herd that he has. When he got the messenger of Rasul coming to him and asking for zakat, you know what he says now? He refused. Not only he refused, he says Rasulullah used to take this extra tax from the non-Muslims by the name of jizya. Now he's changing the words and putting and applying on us now. Look at the audacity there. It's not just saying that I don't want to give zakat. It's even questioning the integrity of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, ma hadhi illa ukhtul jizya. This is the sister of jizya. The way it is wajib on the Ahlul Kitab, now he's making it wajib on us. He refused. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now reveals ayat number 75 and 76 from Surah Tawbah about this fellow. Remember the pledge he made with Rasulullah? وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهِ لَإِنْ آتَانَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. There are some among them, referring to Tha'laba and people like him, who made a pledge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet that if Allah gives me from his grace, I will give in sadaqah and I will be among those who are the good doers. فَلَمَّا آتَاهُم مِّن فَضْلِهِ. But when Allah sent him, gave him the grace, بَخَلُوا بِهِ, became niggardly, بَخِيل, وَتَوَلُّوا, and turned away from the pledge, وَهُم مُعْرِضُونَ. And this is where nifaq came in. Remember the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen? That Allah knows that you are asking for something you will not be able to handle. It is detrimental for your faith. This person's iman now became tinted with nifaq. And after this ayat were revealed, when the news reached to him, he came. with his share of zakat to Rasulullah. And what happened? Rasul said, go away, I don't want your zakat. And you can realize what would be the outcome of such a person. And so you have this example of somebody who was poor, asked for, you know, becoming affluent and rich. Rasul was saying no, because you cannot handle it. This is the example. So sometimes if we ask for something and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically, you know, not responding, that non-response itself is a positive response. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at the outcome of what will happen to us. And so, yes, we have to keep praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and, you know, hope that whatever is good for us, He will inshallah grant to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our amal of this month, give us the tawfiq to understand the du'as which have come from the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt, and may he always keep us among the followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad salawatullah ala ajma'in. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.